Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. I read a reflection once by J. Mary Luty, who is a retired seminary professor and UCC pastor. She noticed how many sermons focus on morality, or how we've denied Christ, or on where we haven't acted as good Christians and need to do better. The author says, "Not every Bible passage is about us and our moral lives. They're not all about what I should be doing for God, but every last one of them reveals something about what God in Christ has done and is doing for me." The end of the article says, "I think by now I know what God wants me to do. What I really want to know is, who is the God who wants me to do it? So, who is this God who calls us? Perhaps by now we do have a pretty good idea of what God wants us to do, but who is this God who wants us to do it? Now, to attempt to answer this question, who is God, would be to transcend the limits of human capability, would stretch the time limits of this sermon, because it's not within our ability to name or describe, much less understand God. But perhaps one small step in this spiritual journey, one tiny piece of the mystery of God, could be examined by asking two questions. What has God in Christ done for us? And what is God in Christ doing for us now? Well, as we've seen in just these past few days, God in Christ does the unexpected. On Maundy Thursday, God in Christ went from the heights of public adoration and recognition to the pits of despair and heart-wrenching grief. Jesus processed into Jerusalem with his chosen 12. The crowds were laying their cloaks in front of him, greeting him with cries of triumph and Hosanna. And then he shared the Last Supper with his beloved disciples, with a keen awareness and likely even dread of all that was to come. This great man, the one they called teacher, rabbi, Lord, God in Christ did the unexpected. He humbled himself, taking on the position of the lowliest servant. He got down on his hands and his knees before these very same disciples and gently, lovingly washed the grit and the grime from their feet. He showed infinite love, tenderness, and compassion, even to those who ultimately abandoned him, denied him, and betrayed him in the worst way imaginable. By washing the feet of those who would ultimately betray him to suffering and death, Jesus showed us how to bring compassion, love, and tenderness into a world that is filled with fear, darkness, and hatred, and now calls us to show each other the same love that he has shown us. In the Garden of Gethsemane, God in Christ experienced the agony and the pain of what it is to be human, what it is to reach out to God from our darkest places of fear and agony and suffering. Jesus experienced the painful betrayal of those who loved him most as they turned against him, deserted him, and denied him. And yet again, in rebuking the disciple who drew his sword, God in Christ does the unexpected by answering hatred and fear with healing love and forbearance. On Good Friday, God in Christ bore the worst of our human nature. Jesus was beaten, ridiculed, mocked, and tortured. Even after he was crucified, the crowds continued to taunt him. "Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe." He saved others. He cannot save himself. Jesus suffered the pain of desolation, the fear of feeling completely alone and abandoned. God in Christ does the unexpected, bearing the worst of humanity's hatred, torture, ridicule, and shame, answering our hatred and violence with love, rather than responding with more of the same. And today, on Easter Sunday again, God in Christ does the unexpected. Thinking that she had lost everything she cared about, Mary stands weeping in grief and despair outside the tomb of Jesus. In fact, all the disciples were frightened. Most of them were in hiding. The man they had pledged their very lives to, this wonderful teacher, healer, the man whom they believed was the promised Messiah. He had been arrested, condemned, and executed, all in a mere matter of days. From their perspective, this was what they had come to expect. The world was as it had always been, the powerful always winning over the weak, and death always having the last word over life. Standing in that garden, Mary never could have imagined what God would do next. She never dreamed that the tomb was empty because Jesus had risen. In fact, until Jesus spoke her name, she had no idea what was happening. But in that moment, that split second of recognition, God did the unexpected, and Mary realized that God's love and God's promises are bigger than the suffering, mightier than the grave. At that moment, the world changed forever because God in Christ does the unexpected. So this leaves us with the question, what is God in Christ doing for us now? I think this is a very timely, very pertinent question, given all that's happened in our community, in our country, in our world during this season of Lent. This week, the bishop celebrated our renewal of vows with us, and he told us, "You were ordained for this. You've got this. I love you, and I believe in you." Today, I am telling you that God in Christ is still doing the unexpected. God in Christ is doing a new thing in you, in us, and in the church. Just as the bishop told the clergy last week, I'm telling you today, you are prepared for this. You've got this. I love you, and I believe in you. Retired Episcopal Bishop Stephen Charleston has this to say. Now is the time for which our faith has prepared us. Now is the moment when all that we believe can be put to work. Now we can turn to the inner resources we have been developing over these many years to face the challenge of a world in desperate need. We are not afraid of this crisis, for we have been made ready for it. We have devoted our lives to the belief that something greater than fear or disease guides human history. We have studied, prayed, and grown in spirit. Now we come to the call to use what we believe. Our people need hope, courage, confidence, and compassion, the very things for which we have been trained. We are the calm in the midst of a storm. Stand your ground and let your light shine so others may see it and find their faith as well. Family of God, brothers and sisters and siblings of Christ, we are called to live as children of light. We are Easter people. Like well-conditioned athletes, we have been training for this throughout our baptized lives. We've been made ready for this challenge. We have the tools, but we haven't been shown exactly how to do it. And this is where God in Christ is doing the unexpected. This is God's opportunity to break in and do a new thing. Fathers of Christ everywhere are rising up to meet the challenges presented by this pandemic, just as Jesus rose on Easter morning to triumph over the challenge of death. Christians and churches are bonding together online, much as we three churches are doing on this very night, to celebrate together, to witness the resurrection of our Savior, and to renew the bonds of community. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are not a building. And we have an opportunity right now to show the world that church is not a building. So let us be the children of light. Let us bring our Easter light into a world of darkness, a world that today is in desperate need of hope, of confidence, of courage, and of compassion. Let us embrace this new reality with all the faith and belief in God that we can muster, and then share it with the many who are in need. Call, text, message, write, Zoom, Facebook, Snapchat, instant message. Reach out in any way that you can. Let others know that you are here and that God is also here and that Christ is risen. In the words of Bishop Charleston, stand your ground and let your light so shine that others may see it and find their faith as well. Christ is risen indeed, and hallelujah for that. Amen.